I'm just saying I was right.
You were right.
And we're back, Geeks Talking Coffee. We are in the 29th inning of this podcast.
Man, when are we getting a break?
This is a record for extra innings.
Yeah, I know.
Yep. We're on it. We're talking more cafes today. Talking about the menu, the drink menu, because sometimes you'll see stupid stuff like Cortado and Gibraltar next to each other, and you're like, hey, what? What? So we're going to talk a little bit about the drinks you normally see at a specialty coffee shop, some that you see at normal coffee shops, and try and help you say, okay, what am I actually ordering? And what is actually the history behind these names? Because some of them are really stupid. And you go, why? Why? It's okay. We're going to help you. Before we do that, make sure you jump on iTunes, leave us a review, because, hey, you're listening to this, you obviously like it. So you might as well tell the world. We live in a society when we have free speech and we're empowered, and that's all great stuff. So you should leverage that empowerment and tell everybody how great the Stone Creek Coffee podcast is. Anything else we should tell them?
No, it sounds good. Just all right. leave us your comments. We really want to know what you think. And if there's things that you like, tell us. If there are things that you don't like, maybe tell us. Or send us an email at podcast@stonecreekcoffee.com.
We're gracious with how we field complaints. All right, cool. We're rolling. Today, we're tasting.
We're going to taste a little bit of Fernet. I don't know if you've ever had Fernet,
I don't know
Drew.
What that is.
Fernet is awesome. A few podcasts ago, I brought in some Campari.
I remember that.
And Campari is like in the same line of Italian bitter liqueurs. And so Fernet is a little bit more herbal. It tends to be, according to the Wikipedias, including myrrh, rhubarb, chamomile, cardamom, aloe, and saffron.
Somebody gave Jesus myrrh. All right, so I'm getting a lot of mint. So explain where this particular concoction came from.
Well, we're just going to talk about Fernet. Unless you want to talk about what this is.
I just want to talk about it, and I smell mint.
Yeah, there's a little bit of mint in here because there's a group of us here at Stone Creek Coffee that we game. We play some D&D down in the basement, and every once in a while we come up with something called a bot shot, which is supposed to be really terrible. It's not supposed to taste good. So if you throw a one, you have to take a pull of this. And the last bot shot that we had was Malort. And I don't know if you ever had Malort, but it tastes... it's intense. It's the most bitter thing I've ever had. It's just like straight wormwood. And so the next person up decided to get Fernet and mix it with a little bit of mint liqueur. And it's actually really palatable. Like, it's really nice. Like, I drink this neat by myself. So I was like, hey, you gave me something that tastes really nice.
It's like 5:30 and you're here dialing in a coffee, sipping this. Yeah. So I've not had this. So that's what I smelled. That's what I want to talk about.
There's a little bit of mint in there.
All right, cool. It's like mouthwash, but with, if you were to mix, like, a coffee liqueur with mouthwash.
Yeah, it tends to be, like, really herbal up front. Mm-hmm. It's almost like... you're chewing on hot basil.
It is good though. I mean, like, I would drink this.
It's refreshing.
Yeah.
And this is also really good mixed with whiskey. You can. It's called. I think it's a Toronto. It's a Toronto or Montreal. It's kind of like a Bouvardier with.
All this is going so far over my head.
I know. I'm big into mixed drinks.
It's just
basically,
not at all.
It's just basically bourbon, Campari, or bourbon, Fernet, a little bit of bitters, and a little bit of vermouth, or a simple syrup.
All right, that's what we're drinking. Next episode, we'll try and drink something more accessible, so you know whether or not to buy it.
I wonder if I can bring anything back from Colombia. Oh, I should bring back some aguardiente.
Yes, you should. I don't know what that is.
I don't know if I can, though. Yeah, I should be able to. I have customs in Atlanta.
YOLO. Again, I will beseech the listenerhood for a sponsorship. Because, hey, we're not going to charge you anything to talk about your drink. Moving on. We're going to talk about drink menus. Let's talk in categories. I think that'd be easiest. Talking categories. We have categories like classic. And when I say classic, I don't mean classic like Frappuccino. I mean classic like, you know, the building block coffee drinks or espresso-based beverages. Then we have brew bar sort of beverages, which would be manual brewing. Drip, traditional drip, which we refer... You'll hear us say COD sometimes. Like, what the heck is COD? We're talking about, like, machine drip coffee. And then signature slash blended beverages, the really built-out stuff that is kind of where a coffee shop makes its money. Is that good?
We should look for certain landmarks on the menu and see how they are structured. This is usually what I do when I go into a coffee shop.
Yeah, well, I think we can pull from experience.
Yeah, so I will look at, see what sizes of coffee of the day are available, how many coffee of the days are available, and where the heck they are on the board, because sometimes that's really hard to find. What does an espresso look like? What size is a latte? And how many different syrups are on the menu?
And we expect you to do all of this right when you walk up to the counter.
But they're just kind of nice landmarks to look at.
Going back to our bean conversation from 2 weeks ago, I challenge everybody not to form a conclusion about a particular shop or company based on one experience. Because you have to get to know how they do things. And because there's pretty much a total lack of standards for the coffee industry, we all do things differently. And that's okay. Let's start with this. Let's start with drip. It's the most simple manifestation of coffee.
Yeah.
What does a drip program tell you about a company?
It tells you pretty straightforward, like, what they have. And usually they'll have one or two coffees on at any given time, but they're usually just kind of their standard...
Standard house.
That could be a house blend. Like, Starbucks uses their... What's it?
Pike's Place
blend. We have any given coffee that we are rotating through on COD at any given time.
So for freshness, yo.
Yeah, exactly. So you can kind of get a sense for, like, what the size structure is. Like, what kind of coffee shop are they? Because if they only have a 12-ounce COD, coffee of the day, that's going to tell you that they're probably edging towards a little more of a craft, like, specialty high-end shop.
Edging towards the edge.
Versus someone who has only 16 and 20-ounce or maybe, like, a 32-ounce.
Good Lord, is that a thing?
You're probably at a Quick Trip.
Oh.
Which is a big old gas station around these parts. Or a Speedway, for those of you. So you're getting your really massive coffee. And if you're somewhere between that, like, 8 to 20 ounce, you're probably in a good area. That's kind of the standard sizes for around here. It's pretty simple to order coffee of the day. Hey, I'll have a drip.
Yeah.
And you might get lucky and have two options. You might have one option.
Yeah, and I think with drip, it is difficult to manage for a coffee company. Like, if you have two options, like a light, a dark, and a decaf, which is pretty much name of the game for your mom and pop shop. They'll have a light, a dark, and a decaf. Odds are pretty good none of those are going to be fresh, except for maybe the dark option. Because if you leave it up to the customer, they're going to say dark, because that's what generally most are familiar with. So that's going to get cycled through. And then light and the dark, the sort of niche coffee options, are going to sit there for a while until they're worked through, because you can't go all day dumping coffee. Like, that gets expensive. You have to use your coffee. So just be aware of that if you're going into sort of a mom and pop shop.
I will say that COD is a good place to start with if you've never been to a shop before.
Oh yeah.
Because it's a low investment on your part. It's like $2 for a cup of coffee. And if that coffee of the day sucks, don't go any further. Just stop, turn around,
and go. You can't get that right. There's only so much you can do.
Exactly. But that cup of coffee is good. And even if you put cream and sugar in it, I'm not going to, like, you can do that.
You
That's
do your
fine.
Thing, man.
But if that COD isn't good, that's telling you the rest of the quality down the spectrum is probably not good enough for you to even, like, spend your time on it.
If you're that dedicated to drink quality. Because sometimes you just need that caffeine. You do what you got to do.
Yeah. So let's move next to, like, your basic espresso drinks.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's usually where people are going to go to when they're going into a cafe. We kind of do 50-50 in our cafe, so half of them want drip, half of them want some kind of espresso beverage.
Yeah.
And so you can kind of navigate through, and again, look at the sizes. You can kind of get a sense. I would recommend asking the cafe how many shots they put in an 8, a 12, a 16, a 20, whatever size you want, because cafes will differ on that.
Mm-hmm.
And
if you get people, good rule of thumb, if you order a 12-ounce latte and the barista says we put one shot in that, just don't. It's not even, it's all milk, yo. So two shots is really important for 8 and a 12. At Stone Creek, we kind of leave it up to the customers. As the sizes get bigger, we actually charge less based on the proportion of milk, because we default to using two shots regardless of the espresso beverages. Because our incremental price goes down as you get bigger, that actually lets you add an espresso shot to make a 16-ounce proportionally the same price as an 8-ounce if you get the added double shot. Because we only charge per puck used, which each puck creates a double shot. So you're only charged 75 cents for two extra shots.
You're looking at that. You're kind of like, okay, what ratio? 1 to 5. 1 to 5 is basically what we said here.
Espresso to milk.
Two shots of espresso, 10 ounces of milk, and a 12-ounce latte. It's kind of a good standard ratio to work with. You get to taste the espresso, get to taste the milk. Something else I'd recommend doing, and we're kind of talking about how to navigate a cafe. So here's a tip from the pros. Look at the bar area. If you would not eat off that bar area, don't order a bar drink. And I've been to a lot of cafes, and they tend to be more mom and poppy, and I don't mean to hate, but if the steam wand looks like a corn dog, that's not a good thing. That means that they're burning your milk, and your coffee's just not going to taste good.
They're burning their milk, and they're not cleaning their machines.
Exactly. Or if you walk into a cafe, and I've had this happen once, that's using a dosing grinder, and they turn on the dosing grinder for like a minute. So you just hear those burrs going. First of all, those grinders aren't made to grind that constantly. The coffee's been sitting out, like, staling for probably an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, however many hours that they've decided to not clean it out. To me, that's just like, no, just stay away.
Right. So when you walk into the cafe, you're going to hear... And then, per Christian, you're going to hear chugga, 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 chugga. That means they're taking the coffee and they're grinding a lot at a time, but they're only using a very small amount for your particular drink. At Stone Creek Coffee, we use what's called a K30, which grinds a very specific amount of coffee for your drink alone to keep the coffee as fresh as possible. Mom and pops often don't understand all the concepts of coffee freshness, so... I mean, it's understandable, but if you're looking for that high-quality espresso experience, you got to understand that grinding only the coffee you need is really important for getting the best espresso you can pull. Go back to that 1 plus 5. That 1 to 5 ratio. The 1 to 5 ratio for espresso-based beverages is kind of in that latte range. Like, you're run-of-the-mill, everyday, awesome. Straight latte.
What we would call a latte here at Stone Creek Coffee.
Right. So that's kind of your classic latte. There's a lot of other kind of beverages that'll show up on the classic menu too, though. Let's do cappuccino. Because if you order a cappuccino one place versus another place, you could get, oh gosh, I mean, there's a lot of spectrum out there in the cappuccino world.
So let's go by definition.
Yeah.
And we take the definition from the Specialty Coffee Association of America and the Barista Guild. And so a cappuccino is a 5 to 6 ounce beverage with one shot of espresso and about equal portions steamed milk and foamed milk. So it's kind of a 1 to 2.5 to 2.5 style beverage. And we take that cappuccino and we can scale that up in size in terms of milk and foam. But sometimes you can get, you can technically get a 20-ounce cappuccino, but it ends up being kind of a weird beverage.
Gosh, it's hard to make, too, because if you want to, like, get a buttload of foam, and this is what a lot of people think when they order a cappuccino is, they want a buttload of foam in their latte. And for a barista, that's hard to make, like, to sit there and steam the milk to create this massive pillow of foam. You actually end up oversteaming the milk frequently. So the milk gets to too high of a temperature, and the consistency is just not... It's more like a meringue. Like, you know, it's a high-temperature meringue.
I had a customer at one of the cafes that I worked at that wanted a bone-dry skim 20-ounce cappuccino. And what I had to do is I almost had to take two sets of milk and steam it to temperature, and then I would spoon the foam on the top. So you'd have two shots of espresso down the bottom and foam all the way up on top. They were technically getting like a 5-ounce, 6-ounce beverage. Just everything was stretched out. Like, whatever, I'll do it.
Yeah.
But a traditional cappuccino, if you go into a high-end specialty coffee shop and you say, I want a cappuccino, it's going to be that 1 to 2.5 to 2.5. They might throw two shots in there, but it'll be that really small beverage. So don't be put off if you get that little beverage. And if that's not what you want, just say, that's not what I ordered. I actually wanted this, and I just didn't understand what you meant.
Yeah.
The barista should be happy to make you another beverage. If they're not, get your coffee and then don't return.
Well, and if you have a good barista, they're going to clarify this. Like at Stone Creek Coffee, if you come in and say, I want a cappuccino, you don't mention size, they're going to ask you, do you want a traditional cappuccino or did you want something different? Because they understand that we all sort of speak a different cappuccino language. Ours is a 6-ounce beverage, one shot. They'll ask you if you want two shots in it. But if you're like, no, that's not what I want. I want like a 12-ounce thing with a lot of foam. They're going to say, dope, I can do that. And that's what a good barista will do, is ask you those questions, because they've encountered the issue before. Only a total jag is going to say, okay, and then make you the drink, and you'd be like, what? And not get what you want.
So let's go into some weirder territory, because you see these things on classic menus sometimes.
Italian names, yo.
We have a cortado. The cortado is a drink that kind of started in Spain, made its way over to Brazil, Portugal.
6'1", half dozen.
Yeah, exactly. It's in that vein. And really what it is espresso that's cut with a little bit of milk. It's kind of like...
cut.
Kind of like macchiato, which means to cut as well. But it's a little bit...
macchiato means to mark.
To mark, but it can also mean to mark with a knife to cut.
Oh.
Yep.
It just depends on what you're marking with.
Exactly.
Most people mark with not a knife.
Uh-huh.
Like a marker.
So it's typically served in a 5 or 6 ounce rocks glass. And it's two shots of espresso with a little bit of steamed milk, usually not too foamy. So that's pretty clear cut to me, but then you get to something like a Gibraltar.
Yeah, which is just confusing as crap.
Because Gibraltar refers to the glass that it's served in, not the actual drink itself.
I was at a cafe that served a cortado and a Gibraltar, and I'm like, seriously, guys? It's the same thing.
Did you order one of each and have them side by side?
No, I didn't. And I'm sure they served like a 5-ounce cortado and then like a 4-ounce Gibraltar. That's what I think they were doing.
And then you have things like a flat white.
Right, which nobody knows what it is exactly. I mean,
a flat white is supposedly a cappuccino with less foam on it.
So it's a latte.
It's
And just to point out, like, when you get to the classic menu, there is a lot of variants. So ask the barista. When you say macchiato, what do you mean? Is it one shot or two shots? Because some people have one shot macchiatos, so one shot 3-ounce beverage. Others will have a 2-shot 3-ounce beverage.
Will have a 16-ounce with caramel beverage.
Right. So, you know, that's a thing that you have to make sure you clarify. Then the cortado, is it 4 ounces or is it 5 ounces? Gibraltar, I assume, is the Gibraltar glass, otherwise known as a rocks glass, which is 4 ounces, which should be equal parts espresso and milk.
SG-120. I want to know what SG-120 is.
Nobody knows what that
is. Oh, blue bottle. It's actually on the blue bottle menu.
What is it?
It's Gibraltar.
Oh. Okay, no, build that out. Jump in.
I'm trying to look this up because I've never heard this before, but the SG-120, like the Gibraltar's name for the glass that it's served in. So someone else went and did another thing, which, you know, I'm going to call everything a latte. It's a latte.
Right, just with different increments.
It's a different strength latte. We're looking at like a 1-to-1, 1-to-2 latte. Latte is milk plus espresso. Let's just call it as simple as that.
But we want to be pretentious as an industry, so we're going to give you the biggest brain cramp you've ever had when you walk in and be like, can I just get some milk with espresso, please?
You know, I tried to do this once, too. Like, I tried to make a menu that said... And I saw this at another cafe, and I really liked it. And it just said, milk plus espresso, 6 ounce, 5 ounce, 3 ounce, 8 ounce. And we didn't do it because we thought customers would be confused because they've already grasped onto those token words.
Well, like I think latte. They would. I think that's true. Like, the nomenclature we built is super confusing, but if you try and change it, change is confusing. It just is. And so, like, when you just have to train your barista to understand what a customer means when they say latte or they say a wet latte or a dry cappuccino, like, you... And baristas, normally, if you're relatively intuitive, if you pass third grade, you can understand what a customer wants. And so we try and train to that and use relatively understood naming practices at Stone Creek. We try not to make it overly complicated. If we do, make us a recommendation. Say, like, hey, I came into your cafe. I saw this. It was stupid. You should change it. Odds are pretty good we're going to change it because our goal is to make it simple and easy to understand.
All right, so we're talking through the rest of the classic kind of menu.
And I think we pretty much hit all of them.
The other thing would be to, when you're at a new cafe, take a look at the kinds of syrups that they have. And, like, if something's house-made, I'd say go for it. Like, if you're in the mood for a mocha, like, house-made lavender syrup, vanilla syrup. There are certain brands of syrup that I'd recommend you stay away from. I'm not going to name them, but we tasted some recently that we're not a fan of.
What were they?
I'm not.
Yeah, but you know, I'm going to cut it out.
Are you going to cut it out?
Yeah, I'm going to cut it out.
I feel kind of nervous with the mic being on. You're going to leave it in here.
I'm not going to.
That was like the cheapest brand.
Bummer. What would you recommend? If somebody's using non-house-made syrups... And you see them, what would be like, oh, yeah, I'll try that.
Monin's kind of a good house standard.
It's all natural, right?
Yeah. We're looking at Monin. We're looking at Barista 22, 1883. I like those brands. For syrups, your kind of common players like Guittard or Ghirardelli for chocolate syrups. I'm actually a really big sucker for Hershey syrup. Yeah, my mocha.
Really?
That's something I grew up on. And there's a place in town.
Is that a nostalgia thing?
No, I still like get some Hershey's and milk. It tastes delicious.
All right.
And there's a place in town that still does it. I swoon over it. Like, it's delicious.
There's something to be said for nostalgia. I mean, like, if you go to a coffee shop and you want to order, like, this really elaborate drink because, it tastes good and that's what you grew up on, and they're going to thumb their nose at you, like, go somewhere else. Like, go somewhere else where they'll respect your drink and you don't have to deal with their crap. Like, it's just not worth it. Like, it's not worth giving your money to some coffee roaster because they're well-respected and they're a bunch of jags. Like, just go someplace you feel comfortable. On Classic, as you explore sort of the increments of milk to espresso that you like, don't hesitate to add the flavors you like, too, if that's your jam. Like, in a good... coffee place will be sensitive to that and will get you what you want.
So moving on to like a seasonal / signature line, it's kind of a natural segue of those types of flavors. The first thing I would do, again, I would take a look at the kind of the flavor combinations, and if you're someone who likes sweet and you think the drink is going to be sweet, you're kind of a good match. But if you're someone who likes a little more of a balanced flavor, maybe ask how much syrup you put into those drinks and ask for a little bit less syrup. Also, if there are odd brands of syrup, or you notice, not to pick on Starbucks, but every once in a while you go and you order, like, a drink and you see, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 pumps
Holla!
Of syrup in a 16-ounce beverage. That there's more sugar in there than there is coffee at that point. Mm-hmm. And you lose a lot of the flavors and textures of a balanced beverage.
Right.
So really take a look and see what's on that signature menu, what looks interesting. And again, you might have a roaster that goes and makes his or her own syrups. We have right now an orange almond mocha that's going to be gone pretty soon, and a lavender latte, which is a huge seller. We make both of those in our kitchen. We're going to be doing a ginger mocha and a honey rosemary latte, which is really awesome in the summer. And we like featuring these things because they're just fun and unique beverages that you can get and really complement the espresso and milk well.
It really highlights the skill of both our coffee teams and our kitchen team, which are a dupe.
And then your blender beverages. Blender beverages are always going to be kind of like a sweet...
When you need dessert, man, they're there for you. But a lot of people approach them differently. Like, the quality of ingredients you introduce to those beverages will impact the ultimate end experience. If I'm going to get a dessert, You can bet I want it to be a really good... I want it to be worth those calories. In these blended beverages, some people will add do milk, ice, espresso, and syrup. I don't recommend that. You're not going to get a great texture. Like, if you're going to go all out. And the people who really find a lot of success in terms of the flavor of these beverages are willing to invest in that milk-based beverage to make it awesome. And it's normally an ice cream-based beverage of high fat content, sort of base for these kind of beverages. At Stone Creek, we use soft serve base. Mix that with ice, high quality espresso, and then the flavoring you want, or no flavoring, because it's just awesome as is. Blend that sucker up. You have a milkshake, like an espresso milkshake, and it is killer. Like, I still love them.
And you know what, baristas? Get off your high horse. They're delicious.
Yeah, just grind that.
You don't need to eat them all the time. You don't need to drink them all the time. But they are delicious. And when I worked in cafe, I had one every once in a while because, you know, you just get the sugar craving. You're like, man, I need a sugar kick. Let's make one up. Yeah. And it's about time we stop hating on stuff like this because so many of our customers, they love this kind of beverage.
I love this.
And it's like it's a really easy entry into the specialty coffee world.
Yeah.
I will just recommend don't get one of these every single day because they are really, really heavy in calories and sugar. And, like, they're not – like, they're a great dessert. Mm-hmm. But you wouldn't eat a gallon of ice cream every single day before you go to work. It's going to be around the same kind of thing.
Just it's not a gallon.
Yeah, it's not a gallon, but use it as a treat.
Right. It'd be – if you go to a place where these blended drinks taste awesome – odds are pretty good. They use ingredients that are very rich. So just be aware of that for health reasons. We say that because we want you to live a long time.
We need to supplement with cheese and sausage here in Wisconsin.
Balanced diet.
Exactly.
Wholesome part of this complete breakfast.
So suppose you don't want coffee of the day. You don't want a signature beverage. You don't want a blended beverage.
You may want that sort of next level of uniqueness and simplicity.
The brew bar.
Amen.
And the brew bar, we find, is one of the most difficult menus to navigate. And that's because people don't set them up the same way. Every single roaster is a little bit different. They have different kinds of methods on brew bar, and they have different options available. So here at Stone Creek, we have three different kinds of options on our brew bar. We have a Clever, we have an AeroPress, and we have a V60.
Yeah, we have three different kinds of brewing options.
Yeah. And then we have three different coffees that you can get in those brewing options. So we technically have nine different options that you can select on the brew bar. If you are a new customer to these brew methods and you're like, I kind of like that Ethiopia, like the look of that Ethiopia coffee on the menu, but I don't know what a V60. What's a V60? What's an AeroPress? I don't know. I just want a coffee. It can be kind of daunting to get to that next step. And you see the price point, because typically the price point of a manual brew is a little bit more expensive.
Yeah,
than
$3, $4, $5, $6.
Exactly. So why would I care about that? Like, why would I want to pay a little bit more for a manual brew?
Well, that depends. I mean, if you truly like specialty coffee and you like to identify variables and variances within the way coffees taste, if you want to explore and experience something unique, then the brew bar is up your alley. If you're just like, hey, man, I know what I like and I want to get that, don't get the brew bar. That's not for you. But otherwise, if you're sort of a coffee explorer, this is your jam, man. I mean, you can try one coffee. You can get it brewed three different ways on three different days and really explore the full spectrum of what that coffee has to offer. And then the next week, you can try the whole thing with a different coffee. It really is sort of the coffee explorer's playground.
And these drinks do tend to cost a little bit more because they are made to order. They're made by hand. It's a true, like, one-off experience where they will go and they'll make the entire beverage for you right there. And so you kind of get a barista to yourself. You're making a V60 for 2 or 3 minutes. It's a good opportunity to ask some questions about coffee, maybe like we talked about in the last podcast, to be like, hey, I saw this coffee on the shelf. What do you think about this? Because you kind of, they're not willing to talk to you. That's kind of stupid. I have that happen to me a lot when I go to other places. They're like brewing it and try to make conversation about coffee. They're like, no.
Yeah. Like, well, so what do you like? Do you like this coffee? What are you jamming on?
I know.
Oh, I don't know. I was driving into Chicago a couple months ago to go to IKEA and stopped at a coffee roaster, and the guy, I like to stand there and stare at them and see how good they are at service and like wait on my drink, and like the people who you'll stand in front of and they won't try and make conversation with you while you're in their pad in their hood is just so frustrating. It's like, you clearly don't understand that I actually pay your salary, that it's the customer who pays for your job. But that's neither here nor there.
That's just kind of weird. Like, can you imagine going into a restaurant and having the waiter just kind of come over to your table and be like...
Stand there blankly. Hey, can I get a recommendation?
I don't know. What do you want?
I don't know. I like them all. Like, I'm sure you do.
That's usually the analogy I take whenever I go to any cafe. It's like, well, what would I expect out of a restaurant?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that I expect to have, like, a restaurant service, but, like, the same level of intentionality and, you know... Noticing that I'm here and being available when I need something.
Mm-hmm. And the great cafes will deliver. Like, you'll know when you got a great barista because they'll be like, oh, yeah, I had this. It's awesome. This is my favorite. What do you like? Okay, I get that. Well, you'll probably like this. It's a little bit different from my jam, but based on what you're telling me, I think this is going to be for you. And then they deliver something that just blows your mind because they understood how to take your feedback and deliver what you want.
Are there any drinks that we can give the listeners that are kind of like insider drinks so they can feel cool when they go out to the counter? I'm like,
secret menu?
I thought of one that's kind of a secret menu, and you'll kind of blow a barista's mind if you go and order this. Order a one-in-one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So one-in-one is taking a double espresso, pulling them into two separate demi-tasse glasses, and making a macchiato out of one, and then a shot of espresso out of the other. Which you can kind of taste the espresso and espresso plus milk. Kind of mm-hmm. a cool thing. And
yeah.
Most cafes will do it for you if you ask for it.
Mm-hmm. Most cafes will give you just kind of whatever random crazy stuff you can conjure. Because, I mean, we all like to try something new. So just throw some kind of nuts drink recipe at a barista or ask them, like, hey, if you could make any drink in the world, what would you make? And then make that for me. And then be surprised. I like that. I would, when I go to a new restaurant or when I go to a new cafe, I ask, what do you want to serve me? Because you're going to make somebody's day with that sort of request, and odds are pretty good you're going to try something new and something great because it's going to be the best thing they can make.
We could also harken back two podcasts ago and take a look at the cold brew iced coffee stuff. Mm. Think about that a little bit. Listen to that podcast. Just know that cold brew and iced coffee are two different things. If you're looking for a cold brew and there's iced coffee on the menu, probably best to ask a question and say, how'd you brew this? Because don't be disappointed.
Right, and understand, too, that cold brew is... It's harder than I think to make it good. Like, at Stone Creek, it seems really simple. We develop a great recipe. We implement a great recipe. I know the cold brew is going to be good. But at other places, I get a cold brew, and I'm like, oh, gosh. Like, it's weak, or it's a naturally processed coffee that's over-fermented, or they're like, hey, nitro cold brew, and they try and, like, mask a really terrible coffee behind a nitro mouthfeel. That's not a good idea. And so I get disappointed easy on that. Just be careful there. Ask questions, as Christian said. You'll be all right. We'll wrap menus there. Between talking about sort of the bean offerings and the menus, you should be set to sort of attack a cafe. I mean, of course, there's different vibes within a cafe that we actually talked about before in terms of cafe types. Like, cafes will sort of build themselves out and place themselves to meet the clientele that they intend to sort of pursue in terms of meeting their market in terms of building their business. But generally, the things as a new customer you got to wade through are the bean offerings and the menu offerings. Other than that, you should be set. Next time, we're going to actually, per the request of somebody I forgot, so I'm going to look you up. We're going to record the podcast with our co-owner Eric again, and we're going to review the history of Stone Creek Coffee. We talk a lot about what our company is now. Stone Creek has evolved a lot, though, over the last 4 years in particular, but we've been around for 23 years at this point, so there's been many phases, many iterations of Stone Creek Coffee, and it's a pretty interesting story to just hear the development of this company and hear how we got to where we are, and Eric, as our founder and co-owner, has been here for all of it, so we're going to pick his brain. We're going to have him tell this story, and I think y'all will enjoy that quite a bit.
Until next time, we're just two coffee geeks spreading some coffee love one podcast at a time.
Have some really scandalous moaning in the background.